I hate it when we have to open shows like this on a somber note, on an absolutely somber note, but the world lost an absolute legend today. Absolute legend. The immortal Stan Lee passed away today at the age of 95. And I know that you definitely wanted to say something about this up at the top of the show. I mean, the guy's touched literally all of our lives. Literally all of our lives. If you're a movie fan, comic fan, TV, cartoons, all, like, literally everything the guy has had his hands in. It, man, just...
Decade after decade, Nick, generation after generation, Stan Lee's work and his brilliance with creating characters has touched so many people. And, you know, this day was coming. We all knew it was coming. No one lives forever. And I think that what we need to do is really take the time to celebrate more than mourn, because at 95 years old, Stan Lee lived a beautiful life. He got to experience coming from a very poor family in New York City to being able to create these characters that live in all of us. Spider-Man, the X-Men, Hulk, Iron Man, Thor, you name it, so many characters that he had his hand in creating and molding and shaping for generations. This guy is a legend, as you said, and I think he actually has kind of transcended that title a little bit, because he's going to live on. I mean, there's no one else, I feel like, in pop culture that is connected to comic books, that connects to movies to the level that he's in. He's been in a cameo in every single Marvel movie, and that's going to be extremely sad when we get to the next one, Nick, and he's not going to show up. I mean, this is a man that I've looked up to since I was a kid. It was always Stan Lee, because he helped create so much that was a part of our childhood and so much that is a part of our adulthood, because look how far it's come. It's not some no-name character that has come and gone. It's something that lives today and is one of the most popular things that we all experience together in the cinemas. Yeah. And I just have to dedicate my portion of the show to Stan Lee. We love you. You are the reason why so many of us have imagination, why so many of us are creative in our endeavors to create new characters, film, comic books, cartoons, animation, you name it. Your name is right up there with all the other legends that had their hand up there. You are the Walt Disney of comic books, Stan Lee, and this goes out to you.
Yeah, may he rest in peace. I just, man, I don't know. See, I was never a big comic book reader, but of course, it's like you said, we've all gotten to just enjoy all these characters that he's created on the big screen for the past 20 years, you know, X-Men, Spider-Man, right up through, and then into, of course, the MCU. I mean, it's just, it's amazing how much it still, how big of a part it still has in popular culture. It's just absolutely amazing. So,
yeah. And that's what makes me feel so happy, Nick, because when I look back at what he got to experience the last 15, 20 years, all of his dreams came true, because he got to be on the red carpet for every single movie that was based on one of the characters that, if he didn't solely create, that he helped create and helped write and produce. And he got to stand there as an older gentleman and see his creations come to life on the big screen and be one of the most, if not the most successful things on the entire planet. So that's something to celebrate. We celebrate you. We salute you, Stan Lee, dead at 95 years old.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Hey, buddy, you gonna eat that sausage?
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Tell me something, my friend.
Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the role?
Ladies and gentlemen!
Your complete attention, if you please.
The Epic Film Guys Podcast.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Epic Film Guys Podcast, episode 168. I believe. Yes.
Is it really?
Maybe.
Am I right?
No.
Are you right?
Maybe.
Am I right?
I don't know.
Are you wrong?
Welcome.
I don't know either.
Ladies and gentlemen. I, of course, am Nick.
And I'm Justin. And no, I know that you're looking forward to hearing his voice, but the god of podcasting is not present this evening. Loy Sauce, also known as Loy Socks, also known as A1 Loy Sauce, whatever the fuck, he's not here. So you got to just deal with Nick and
you're
I this evening.
Wow.
But we're very excited for this evening because we saw a movie.
No.
As we usually do, right? Yes. Don't we usually, we see movies.
Is that what we do on this show? Oh, wait, epic film. Oh, my, I've been approaching this all wrong for the past 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, I think you have.
Good night, everybody.
Because actually, I can tell that you have been approaching it all wrong, Nick, because right now is November, and we are still celebrating our Never Seen It November challenge.
Never Seen It November. There it is. The greatest sound drop we've ever done and will ever do.
I am, for those of you interested, at 15 movies as of
this moment.
Nick, where are you?
I believe...
Come on.
I'm at 4, I believe.
4. It's today's the 12th of November.
Overlord was 4, I believe.
Four.
Listen, I'm a busy man.
I want to make it clear. I know what he's busy doing. He's busy rewatching Married with Fucking Children, which I understand.
Listen,
that's what he's doing.
Listen,
so be honest.
One of my favorite shows of all time. It just hit Hulu. The entire series run, like 275 episodes or however many. It is a crazy amount of episodes. I adore that show. I can't even tell you. I watched that when I was a kid. Like, all through growing up, all through my teenage years, like that was on, like all through the 90s. That was my jam. The Simpsons and Married with Children Sunday nights on Fox. That was where it was at, baby. That was where it was at. And I love every minute of it. So I'm so glad. I used to have VHS tapes, Justin. I used to have like 15 VHS tapes that I taped the show off of TV. I used to lug these things around with me everywhere I went, whenever I moved and stuff. And then I would just pop them in, and they were mixes of all the different seasons, all the different episodes. And I would just watch them and laugh. That show holds up, too. That show holds the fuck up.
Oh, it does. It definitely does.
It's got its offensive elements that would never pass muster today. Like, never. There's one point during the show where they talk about going to watch midget wrestling. Which, it's in the show. I'm just saying what's in the show. But
no, I love how politically incorrect it is. It's one of my favorite things about it.
It's great, but it was also like a really, really progressive show. And I always loved that, you know, you have the chauvinist in Al on one side, but then you had Marcy on the other side, who is just as sexist as Al is from the other side. And I always loved that they had that dichotomy in between. But I always loved the thing that I love about Married with Children and Wolves is that the Bundys always had each other's backs when worse came to worse. When they hit the thick of it, they always had each other's backs, and they were always like still that tight knit family, even though they legit just went at each other all the time. It was great. I love that show. I absolutely adore it. So I'm super glad that hit Hulu, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Now, to Justin's point, yes, I am only 4 films into Never Seen It November, but I've got a bunch more on the docket before the month ends. So I will get there, ladies and gentlemen. I will finish the Never Seen It November challenge. It's not, like Jared Taylor correctly pointed out last month, me not finishing the horror challenge is a tradition for the horror challenge. Like every year, I just don't finish it. But I always finish Never Seen It November. I love this challenge. It's really, really fun, and it gives me a chance to explore a bunch of films, like the film we're going to talk about a little bit later with Overlord, which is going to be a fun review. I really, really can't wait to talk about that movie. But I've been busting my ass on so many different things, so I just haven't had the time lately. I'm doing NaNoWriMo again. I did it 2 years ago. You guys, if you long-time listeners of the show, you remember me talking about it 2 years ago. I didn't do it last year, but I'm crushing it right now. I had like 4,500 words in today. Like, I just absolutely killed it. I'm ahead of pace right now. I'm going to finish ahead of time if I stay at the pace I'm at, which I love. And I just love writing. I love getting into and just investing myself in characters and going for it. I just love it, man. So I've been tied up with a lot of different stuff and with making beer, which I'll talk about just a little bit later in What Are You Drinking?
Yeah, man. Well, I drank a lot of beer and a lot of other alcohol this past Saturday night. I had an absolute blast, and I had the luxury of seeing our good friend of the show, Emily, once again from The Story Behind.
I sucked a dick
last night.
Emily, you weren't even that frisky when I was hanging out with you. Wow. But I, Nick, am the first person to receive a physically signed copy of the story behind. And here's, this is how Emily is, too. I begged her. I absolutely begged her to allow me to buy a book. I said, hey, I was just hoping that I'd be able to buy one of your books from you when I saw you. And she charged over. She ran away from me for 5 minutes. She came back with a book and then immediately started signing it and writing to me the inscription on the inside. I'm not going to spoil it on the show this week, but she wrote it to me as if she was writing to me in a yearbook in high school. Uh-huh. And my heart was very much warmed at that moment, but I had a blast hanging out with her. I got to meet Dina Marie from Twisted Philly. Oh my fucking God, dude. It was such a blast. I definitely went overboard. And I also got to meet some new friends, Josh from RMI Arcana podcast, Sarah from Girl on Space, and Jeremy from Podcasts We Listen To. We all hung out. We all had a lot of fun. And I even, Nick, dragged the sauce there with me
to make him be social. He was on his phone. Like, Dina Marie posted that video that she did over in her Twisted Philly Facebook group, and she's panning around to everybody. You were there, and of course Danielle was there with you, and then she gets to Loy Sauce, and he's sitting there on his phone, and he looks up, he's like, oh, hi. God damn it, Loy Sauce.
Daddy's still teaching the boy manners. Daddy's but I gotta tell you, Nick, you with the belt we now. All wish that you could have been there. That was brought up on numerous occasions. Where's Nick? We gotta get Nick out. And Emily has a plan for trying to get this thing to happen for us all to hang out. So she will let you know when that happens. But honestly, it was just a blast hanging out with all these different podcasters, just talking about podcasting. And I unfortunately did not attend DC Podfest. I live right outside of DC and I wasn't invited, and I did not pay the $100 ticket price to get in either. But hey, I got to hang out with some great podcasts. So that's what Epic Film Guys do. They booze it. They get drunk. I didn't drive. I drove home safe because my wife drove. I love you, babe. So it was a great time. Great time.
All right. Well, I'm jealous. Super, super jealous. Of course, I absolutely love Dina Marie. We've had her on the show twice now in October. It's going to kind of become our annual thing. Every October, we're going to have her on the show. She's going to pick two movies for us to watch. And hopefully, I won't shit all over one of them like I did with Hush when she comes back next year. But yeah, that's absolutely amazing. I saw, like I said, the video that Dina Marie posted. I saw the photos and everything that everybody was posting up. And it looks like it was a really, really good time. And like I said, I was super, super jealous. I'm really glad you got the sauce out, though. Because we recorded the day that you went to that. We recorded the Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince spotlight, which is out right now. And if you're listening to this on release day, you've only got until Monday to answer the trivia question in the Half-Blood Prince episode before I record the responses and wipe it out for the Deathly Hallows trivia questions. Okay, so get on it now if you want to win all 8 copies of Harry Potter and digital 4K, all 8 movies. All you have to do is answer trivia questions and you get a ticket into the drawing, and we're going to announce that live next week on the show when we review Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Grindelwald. You know, I'm really excited for that movie. I get to see it as of this recording tomorrow. Ooh. So the day after we recorded this, I get to see it. So I'm really excited to see it. It's a special Fantastic Beasts fan event.
Nice. So,
hoping to see plenty of wands in the air.
Next Monday, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be Deathly Hallows 1 and 2, our final spotlight in the Harry Potter spotlight series. And then, of course, Fantastic Beasts 1, which, again, as of today, I still have not seen. Fantastic Beasts 1 and 2 are going to be focused on in the next episode. So Harry Potter's coming, man. Wizarding World, you're going to get your fill of magic, of wands, of Dementors, of Azkaban, of all of it. You're going to get all of it coming up here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. But that's not what we're talking about tonight, Justin. We're actually dipping our toes back in to horror, because we both got the chance to check out Overlord, which I guess I think the best way to describe this film is to describe it as like a kind of mishmash between a war movie and like a horror thriller.
It's an action movie mixed with horror. Like, the horror, I feel like, is the back end of it, because the movie could have been successful, I feel like, without the horror elements. But we're going to get there when we get there. That's going to be the second part of the show, that full review.
Cannot wait
but
to
I got to say,
that movie.
It blended the genres amazingly. It's been a long time since I've seen a movie that has been able to dip its toes, as you say, in those different genres and then mix it all together
very
so
seamless,
perfectly.
Kind of the way that it moves from one into the other. Like all of a sudden it sweeps you up into the horror part of it. It starts with the war part of it, obviously. But yeah, I'm super excited to talk about that. We'll get to that in segment two of the show. But I think, Justin, what we have to do really quickly here before we get any further, something that we do every once in a while on the Epic Film Guys podcast, when a new trailer lands, it's time for Epic Previews.
In the world of Endicott, New York and Herndon, Virginia, two Epic Film Guys dissect the latest movie trailers in a segment we like to call Epic Previews.
Justin, we're going to mention one teaser that dropped today, actually, on recording day for the show, but we're not really going to cover it in Epic Previews because it's a teaser and it tells you legitimately nothing. It may as well just be an announcement teaser for Toy Story 4, which is coming out next summer, and it's literally just a trailer of a bunch of the characters all spinning around in a circle and music's playing and next summer comes up on the screen.
Yeah, it's not really what I would consider a trailer, but it is kind of the norm when it comes to teaser trailers in this day and age. So to a movie, mind you, that I'm not really all that excited for because I felt like the trilogy ended perfectly on a really great note with part 3. So you'll have to do a lot more than that to get me invested in seeing another Toy Story. It is one of the best animated series ever made, for sure. Very There's true. No question there. But, you know, I it's been a while since I've watched an animated movie in the theater because my kid is now 14 and she's no longer all that interested in them. So I no longer have to go. I'm not saying that I don't want to, but it kind of takes the ease off the shoulders a bit. So we'll see when we get there. But as of right now, that's not a movie that's really on my radar.
Because you have that other child that you go to the movies with all the time that loves going to see animated movies in the theater. So
he sees them on his own. He's old enough. He can get in on his own. Okay. He doesn't need daddy to come in.
There's no parental guidance required.
Wow. I don't know if they're going to let him into the movie when he talks like that. But moving from Toy Story 4, like I said, I just wanted to mention it because it did drop today and it is a huge franchise. But to talk about another film that I don't think either one of us has even the slightest bit of interest in. I was never, ever a fan of Pokemon. I don't necessarily know that you were either. Of course, this is
Detective Pikachu.
No. Starring Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu for some reason, which is really... That's the weirdest thing about this trailer, is hearing Ryan Reynolds' voice come out of Pikachu. Like, I'm familiar with the cartoon and stuff like that, at least, and like his cute, mousy little voice, which you get to hear in the trailer when...
Pika.
Other people hear him. It's just hearing, I think that's got to be the most odd, kind of off-putting and weird thing that they chose to do in this. Why Ryan Reynolds, Justin? Why Ryan Reynolds in a Pokemon film?
Welcome to Rhyme City, a celebration of the harmony between humans and Pokemon.
Tim, your dad was a legend in this precinct. If you were anything like your dad...
I'm not.
I remember. You wanted to be a Pokemon trainer when you were young.
Yeah, that didn't really work out. Someone there? Whoever you are, I know how to use this.
Oh, jeez.
Here we go.
I know you can't understand me, but put down the stapler or I will electrocute you.
Because Ryan Reynolds is trying to benefit off of his Deadpool fame, I would think. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. This trailer really didn't do much for me. But hearing Reynolds in it kind of made me go, hey, you know what? Reynolds is funny. He has great comedic timing, and we all know we love him as Deadpool, so I'm kind of like, maybe if I see this, that'll be the one thing about it that I am interested in, because it has Justice Smith in it, which is the biggest pile of shit from Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, who is the worst thing about that movie. A giant block of wood who is annoying as shit, and I couldn't stand him. So seeing that he's a lead character, like he is the lead in this movie, made me want to not see it even more. But if Ryan Reynolds is Pikachu, there's at least that comedic element that I'll be able to have.
Yeah, like the rest of the stuff in the trailer, I'm sure someone who's well-versed in Pokemon, such as Director Brennick, could fill us in on all the different Pokemon and stuff like that that we get to see. I don't know any of their names, except for Pikachu, and I don't know anything about...
I know that our own Saucier, you know, that he knows a lot about Pokemon, yeah. Because it just comes down to the fact that I think it's just after our time, man.
Yeah, I would agree. This was a little bit late for me. As I was coming of age, as it were, I was into Married with Children and stuff like that. I didn't have room for Pokemon. Like, I don't know. So I know I have a lot of friends that are definitely into it that are probably going to be a lot more excited. Director Brennick, we're definitely committing him and Caleb to joining us for that film, because I know they'll both be way more excited. So Netflix and Swill, you've been called. Answer the call.
And I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie, with the whole mobile game, you know, like 2 years ago, whenever they released that.
Oh, Pokemon Go, yeah.
Kind of revitalized the whole brand. And I got into that. I was like, oh, this is fun. I'm going to go around to a bar or a gym, or I'm just going to go find Pokemon all these places. So I know why they're doing it. I know why they're doing a movie.
It's a very popular franchise. Insanely popular.
How they're doing this, though, like the whole storyline, like Detective Pikachu, like that doesn't really. And even I've seen the show, you know, more than a handful of times. You know, when I was flipping through channels in my mid-20s, and that was the only thing on, sure, I'd put it on while I was eating fucking cereal after I got home from work. Sure, I'll watch it for a few minutes, but this doesn't feel like that at all. So it's just Hollywood's way, again, of taking a property. And it reminds me of movies in the 80s, Nick. For example, Masters of the Universe. Love it. It's not a good movie, but I love it. But it was their way of going, like, how do we make a Masters of the Universe movie? Let's make, like, He-Man and his friends come to Earth. And then they're there, and instead of having it all on Eternia, so it's like, it feels like the same thing, like, where they don't want to make it just a straight-up Pokemon movie, but they want to have that element and those characters there for the fans to come in and watch it,
yeah.
And try to do something different with it, I guess. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they couldn't get the rights to everything. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe test the waters and kind of see exactly how much play they can get off of a live-action adaptation of the franchise as well, which, I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll see how it plays. But, I mean, like I said, I think we'll definitely have the gentleman from Netflix and Swill join us, because they'll probably have way more to say about it than we will in the end. And I know, like, I watched the trailer just stone-faced the whole time. It doesn't look interesting to me. Even Ryan Reynolds, like, the addition of Ryan Reynolds just seemed weird to me. I was just like, why Ryan Reynolds? Of all the people you could get to voice Pikachu...
And tell me, does Justice Smith look all that engaging to you? I'm not trying to hate, you know, I'm being a little bit of a prick here from Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, because he was one of the worst things about it, but he doesn't seem all that engaging to me. He doesn't seem all that interesting to me. Yeah, so I don't know.
I guess we'll see, but that'll wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen, for a quick edition of Epic Previews here up at the top of the show. And before we get into that Overlord review, Justin, we've got to roll over into that thing that we do every single week. And of course, I'm talking about, what are you drinking?
I'm back! Puke and rally! Yeah. Woo! Give me a beer!
And I am going to pitch it over to you first, my friend, because I am just drinking just regular old Nick's birthday IPA.
Well then, got to give another huge shout out to my boy P-Well. That's Brian Powell. A few weeks ago, we did a nice little beer trade, and he sent me Curiosity 51 from Treehouse Brewing Company, an American IPA, 7% alcohol by volume. And this thing is very unique. There's lots of layers to this baby, and you just got to peel them back. You got mango, you got coconut, you got lemongrass, heavy dose of oats in this. It's just really delicious. And it's pretty hoppy on the back end as well, but very smooth. I really, really love this beer, and I'm surprised that I have not heard of this one from Treehouse before. I'm not sure if it's new or anything. I've had plenty of their beers and I've loved all of them, but this seems to be one of their more complex beers that I've had, and I think it's delicious. I'd love to tell you all out there to try it if you get your hands on it, but it's probably not going to happen. So just envy me as I sit here and drink this amazing beer. Here's to you.
And I, like I said, I'm drinking IPA number 38. It's my birthday beer, the one that I fixed, and it is very drinkable now. It's actually really, really enjoyable. It's really refreshing. It's not too heavy. It doesn't sit too heavy on the palate. It's nice and clean. So when I fixed it, it actually turned out pretty well. I did want to mention, I talked about it a little bit more over in the patron-only segment. So if you're patron, you got to hear me wax on and on about it. But the pumpkin ale is in. She's fermenting right now. I made that Saturday. And the wort, you know, the unfermented beer, did taste just like pumpkin pie. Like, it was subtle. It was definitely in there. Like, you could definitely get a good pumpkin pie flavor from it. It'll be interesting to see what fermentation does to it, and if you still get those pumpkin pie elements when it comes through. I also transferred Hopster's Chocolate Milk 2.0 over into secondary, and I tasted that beer after 3 weeks in primary, Justin, and let me tell you, mind-blowingly good. Mind-blowingly. I wanted to drink it all flat. I just wanted to sit there and keep drinking it because it was so good, but she's got another 2 weeks or so in secondary on more cacao. I put more cacao in it, and then I'm going to bottle it, and it's super creamy, super chocolatey, everything that I want like a decadent chocolate milk stout to be. Has the potential to be hands down the best beer I've ever brewed, which I cannot wait to taste that beer. Both of those will be ready around Christmas time, which is going to be really nice. And I'm going to brew another IPA probably within another week or so, maybe in a week or two. And put in a, try something in the New England IPA realm again and see if I can't come up with something interesting.
Sounds good to me, man. I can't wait to try it. Yeah. I'll be there for Christmas, so I'm expecting a taste.
Oh, yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and run over into a quick break for some EFG history. And when we come back, it's time to talk Overlord.
This week in Epic Film History!
There's really nothing to talk about with them because they're not the focus. She's the focus. She really gives the story its gravity. Badum-tish. I'm so clever. This is an actress.
Is he just like blowing himself live on the podcast right now?
Yeah.
This is for real. He just took like 2 seconds to go down, put his head down between his legs and just suck it hard, baby.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the lisp isn't going to show up for this, man.
Jeez.
I'm the god of podcasting, and I am so much more clever than either of you.
As if my soundboard isn't annoying enough, now it's got this fucking thing on it.
I know, seriously.
It is Gary Goddard's Masters of the Universe.
Oh,
you heard it.
My god.
Dolph Lundgren as
He-Man. Holy you know shit. It.
And Frank Langella, as honestly, very well performed, very well acted, put a lot of effort into the character and had a lot of say into the character.
Everybody that is participating, we're going to raffle off a prize and send it to him. I've tasked Justin, I don't know if he started it yet, he probably hasn't, to create some kind of EFG holiday shirt or some kind of new swag or something that we can send to
you
the
tell
winner.
Me, what do you want on the shirt, though? What do you want on it? You want Santa Claus on there? A giant sausage?
You could put a giant sausage on the front, and then on the back it can say, I sucked a dick last night.
I don't know how many people would wear that in public, but great concept. I was thinking more like we should use Director Brennick and then put him in a Santa Claus outfit, and I don't know.
Well, now we know how Dan feels about that.
I know. I'm going to get hate for it. I don't fucking care. Hate me for it all you want. But it is the 1998 Roland Emmerich Godzilla 1998. I fucking love
I knew it.
Shit out of that fucking movie.
I
Matthew
knew it.
Broderick.
You should be handing me something. I heard someone told me that this podcast is only where it is now because I'm on it, because I show up here and there. I don't really know.
Literally, I was so interested in what her character was going to do next, I couldn't leave the theater. And I definitely had to piss, like, about halfway through. like really, really bad. And I like struggled, and my dick was hurting. I had to piss. I had to pee-pee all over myself, and I didn't. I just sat in my seat because I felt like if I missed literally, this is one of those movies. I'm just telling you right now. You guys have both been to the movies with me many times. You know that I get up a lot and piss.
Yeah.
Like sometimes like 3-4 times if I have to, especially if I'm drinking beer. But this movie, I felt like if I missed 3 or 4 minutes of dialogue, or even like 30 seconds, like I would miss an integral part of the film. So I just dealt with it. I just suffered through it.
We miss you, Saucy. Come back. We miss you. Can't wait to do that Harry Potter retrospective with him. We got to like lock him down for one of these weekends, and then we're going to record like 5 episodes at once, so then we won't need him for like another 5 months.
Check out all sorts of great moments in the show's history by searching for the hashtag EFG History on Facebook and Twitter. And now, back to the show. Overlord.
Overlord. So, this was a movie going in. I hated the trailers for this movie. I think that the trailers for this film did not do the final product justice.
At all. No justice.
I don't think they did. And before we get into any of that, and before we get into the film itself, Justin, tell us what it's all about, baby.
Okay. So, I could just tell you to watch the trailer. But on the eve of D-Day, a paratrooper squad is sent to destroy a German radio tower in an old church. However, their plane is shot down before they can reach their target, only leaving 5 survivors. They witness danger as they attempt to find a hiding spot to complete their plan, and they begin to realize that there's more than meets the eye on what the Germans are doing with their experimentation. And of course, as the sauce would always like to say, hijinks ensue. Yes, and they ensue very brutally of a horror fashion, which I love dearly. Oh, Nick, I can't wait to talk about this movie.
Now, the film stars your favorite actors that you don't know the names of from a whole bunch of movies that you've seen, like Yovana Depo. He played Corey in Fences. I knew I recognized him from somewhere when I was watching it, but yeah, he played Corey, the oldest son.
And we have Wyatt Russell, who is Kurt Russell's son here. Yep. Very much mirroring his Snake Plissken-esque performance there with playing Ford, who he very much right off the bat looks like him, sounds like him, embodying his dad the best to his ability.
Yeah, and of course, over to, I got to say his name right here, Pilou Asbak.
Great job.
There you go.
You nailed that. Holy shit.
He was Batu in the Ghost in the Shell movie last year. So there you go. Like all these people that you saw in these other movies and you never knew their names, they're all popping up here in Overlord. So you're not going to see any like wall-to-wall star power or anything, which I think is to the story's credit in one way, especially when you're making a war movie, because this film starts ostensibly as a war movie. There's no horror element to it whatsoever. It's just a war movie. And I'll say it. I'll be the guy that says it. Because I've seen things like Band of Brothers that have done the paratrooper invasion of Normandy like so perfect, it can't ever be matched. So I try to disassociate that in my mind as I'm watching it. Because there's things that bugged me about it right away. And I'm just like, nope, that's not the movie we're watching. Just stop it. You just have to kind of go along and enjoy the ride. You got to strap yourself in with this movie, I feel, and enjoy the ride. So I'm going to ask you up front, Justin, before we talk about any of the parts of it, if you had to dial it in to the horror part or the war movie part, which do you think was your favorite?
That's really hard to say, man. Because for me, I think those two parts were equally perfect and they blended very well together. Because even though the trailers kind of spoiled it because it needs to, because it needs to market that movie to people like, hey, we've got war, we've got great, amazing action, we've also got horror for you. The horror is the back end of it. Think of like a great beer, and on the finish of a beer, you get a little horror in there. Like, ooh, that's a little spooky there. That's how I felt.
That doesn't
Overlord
sound like
was.
Anything I would want to experience, to be honest.
That's how I felt. And you know, I think that this movie is equally good in being a straight up war movie and being a horror movie, even though the horror elements are just kind of intertwined in war. It's basically like they said, hey, what would happen if ... this kind of thing was going on during the war? I don't think they approached it from a horror standpoint, because it's not really that scary. There are good moments of suspense. There are good moments of suspense. There are a couple spooky moments. There's like two or three jump scares in there. And there is amazing, brutal gore and amazing practical makeup effects in this as well. But it's approached strictly from a war movie standpoint, in my view.
Yeah. I'm gonna say easily, it's the horror aspect of it for me. For me, the war movie aspect of it is not treading any new ground. It does a great job of establishing where we are and what we're doing. Like Justin said, the two distinct genres in this film, they blend together incredibly well, and you completely believe that this, you know, war movie and their paratroopers and they're down. Of course, we all know that the paratroopers on D-Day were scattered to the wind because of the flak. The planes dropped them early. They dropped them late. They were way off course. You know, these guys were probably the closest to their objective of any of the paratroopers that dropped in Normandy. But you've seen this kind of a war movie before. And I think that it was like, you're not seeing anything really new. Or anything. It's nothing groundbreaking in terms of war. You've seen way better war movies, especially about World War II and especially about this part of World War II. But it still does a really, really great job of investing you in the characters somewhat. And I'll get to what I mean by that in a little bit. But it perfectly invests you in the characters and takes you on the journey that they're going on, to where you 100% believe that all of a sudden Boyce winds up in these catacombs underneath this church where the Nazis are doing all these weird experiments, making these freaky undead motherfuckers.
Who are basically going to be used. And of course, this is a generic trope that has been used in many, many films before it, but they're going to be used as war, you know, they're supposed to be used as soldiers, basically. Yeah. They're trying to find new ways of creating an indestructible weapon to fight the Americans and all of their other enemies. So we've seen it before, but for me, visually at least, this is one of my favorite versions of that type of thing.
Yeah, it was visually amazing. I absolutely adore all the visuals in this film. Sound design in this film, I felt, was mostly on point. Mostly.
Oh, man, come on. All right. And I hate doing this to you. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? You know what I'm going to say?
Go ahead.
The theater that I saw it sounded amazing. I almost had to put an earplug in my left ear.
Because I think, like, legit. For me, it was because, like I said, I've seen things like Band of Brothers, which I adore, which did the Normandy landings for paratroopers. And like when they dumbed down like the sound of the plane, like there's one scene in the very early part of the film when the sergeant's walking through the plane and they cut down the audio of the plane so that you can hear the dialogue. Like, to me, it was like, I don't know, just leave it. It's supposed to be loud so you can't hear anything. And they turn it down. Like, to me, like stuff like that. I mean, I get that we're watching a fantasy film wherein there are essentially zombies.
Totally fantasy.
It's totally fantasy. I get that. But you're basing it in a real world event. And like, they did a really great job. I think the costuming is really on point. I think like the kind of, I love the way that the camera is really, really frantic, especially in the opening sequences, because it really conveys that sense of, you have no idea what's going on. There's bullets whizzing in all directions. There's flak exploding in all different directions. There's fire, explosions, everything. I think that's great. I think it was all great. And it was just little things like that. Like I said, I had to tell myself, no, Nick, that's not what you're watching right now. Stop it.
See, we know you're a war buff. I didn't approach it from that standpoint at all. And I've watched plenty of war movies that I also enjoy and love. But I wasn't even looking at this on the same level as that. I wasn't even going into this like, oh, this is trying to be a legit war movie. I think they were just really doing their best of trying to blend these genres together.
I'm going to go on a limb and say this, Nick.
You keep referencing the genre of war movie. I'm going out and referencing action movie, because the action in this movie, okay, here's the thing in Hollywood. We're no longer allowed unless you're John Wick, right? To see people getting blown away with real guns and real blood like you used to see in the 80s and the early 90s. When a guy would go in a room and he could take out 20 fucking bad guys with a machine gun and there'd be squibs and blood splattering everywhere and we'd all cheer and love it. And that's the kind of action movie that I grew up with and the kind of action movie I love. So yes, this is a war movie, but this is also a really good excuse to go, let's just go watch these motherfuckers machine gun down some Nazi motherfucking pieces of shit and see them get their heads blown off and blood splatter everywhere. That's how I approached it. Not like they're trying to be genuine. Of course, the period's done in a genuine fashion. But
I'm being super nitpicky. I promise it will not affect my final rating of the film, but it was something that I was just conscious of.
Understandable. As I'm
sitting there in the theater. The one thing that bugged me is you're going to get, because it's a war movie and it's just doing what war movies do. Every soldier is generic in a sense. They're all kind of fitting a stereotypical box. You've got the tough as nails New Yorker. You've got the Jewish guy. You've got the big tough corporal who, you know, beats the shit out of enemy soldiers. And you've got all these different stereotypes of soldiers that you see in war movies. There's even a line in here that's almost directly ripped from Saving Private Ryan, where the guy on the plane is like, you put me in this gun next to Adolf Hitler, boom, that's it, it's all over. Like, it's almost verbatim from Saving Private Ryan. So it's not treading any new ground in terms of the war movie, but
except our lead character,
who, again, yes. I think Yovana Depo is great in this film. I really love Boyce. He's really, really easy to attach to in terms of a character. I think you really, really invest yourself in him well. I want to move on from nitpicking the war stuff because there's so much good to unpack in this movie. There's so much fun to be had in this movie. And I think there's three distinct set pieces in this film. You've got the war stuff in the beginning, the first third. They get to the village, and then there's just all the scenes at the village, and then the stuff at the church, the horror stuff, the gore, the amazing makeup effects like Justin talked about. I think for me, like, especially once they get to the village and you get to those quieter moments, you get the tension of, are the Germans going to catch them there? Because the Germans catch them there. And then you learn her aunt is sick. What's going on with her aunt? Her aunt doesn't sound like she's sick. She sounds like she's a fucking zombie.
Yes. Which we need to use that term, I feel like, lightly, because here's the thing. We can say zombie, Nick, but they're not undead. They're people that are alive and that have been had tests done.
Well, that's not necessarily true, though, because I mean, it's not spoiling too much to say this, but we do see at least a couple of times in the film people who are dead that
you're
get
right,
reanimated
you're right.
by
you're right.
whatever reanimated this formula is.
After the fact. But some of them are alive and they've already been being experimented on, and then they become this thing. So I guess you're right. I apologize, but because they're not just like straight up like blown away and they're dead and like they
mindless yeah. cannon fodder zombies like that. They're not
of course,
meant to
yeah,
be
this
like
is a
that.
Different thing. And this isn't even 28 days later zombies. You know
they're intelligent still. They can still speak. You know, so it definitely trend that line as lightly as you want. But I want to get from there, and I just have to say this right now. Get the team that made this movie onto a Resident Evil reboot.
I knew it.
Right
fucking
now.
I knew you were going to say that.
I get so many vibes of Resident Evil in this thing because you get the scenes of Boyce's character exploring the catacombs of this church. Very, very atmospheric, very, very tense. And you get the experimentation, you get the, you know, the, it's Nazis, of course, in this case, but they're doing experiments on the townspeople and they're doing all these horrific ass things. And they've got this serum that they inject into dead bodies and bring it back to life. And then there's the one guy who's alive, perfect shades of Resident Evil 2. Shout out to Robert Moreno. He'll know what I'm talking about. Birkin with the G virus. Like, Wafner takes the serum. He's alive and fucking jams it right into himself. And he, you know, becomes this monstrous type character. Like, so many just shades of things in Resident Evil movies. Get these guys on Resident Evil stat. Keep Paul fucking Thomas Anderson, lock him in a shed somewhere, set it on fire, and don't let him out. Whatever you
do. I'd say even have Julius Avery, the young up-and-coming director that hailed this thing. I'd say get him behind it,
please.
Too. He actually just got announced as being behind a new Flash Gordon movie. You know what? Cool. Cool and all, because I'm sure he'll bring some great sense to the visual sense of a Flash Gordon movie. But dude, get him on a Resident Evil movie, and I feel like that could be a viable franchise that people actually come back to in hordes if it looks like, and it feels like, and it sounds like Overlord. I cannot tell you enough, Nick, that I had literally very low expectations for this movie. I agree with you in the beginning of this discussion. I did not like the trailers, but you know what I said? I got to give this a chance because it intrigues me. World War II, zombies, J.J. Abrams is attached. It looked at least like there was a budget behind it, which there was, of $38 million. So I said, I got to give this a shot. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. I walked out of that theater more happy and satisfied than I've been in a long time. This thing was an absolute blast to watch in the cinema.
It really was.
I recommend it to everybody that I've talked to. I've said, seriously, do you like war movies? Do you like action movies? Do you like horror? I had very few bad things to say about this.
It's got a little bit of something for everyone. It's got those horrific, it's got body horror scenes. It's got just crazy action, crazy fights, gunplay. It's got the war stuff. You care about these characters. You get invested in these characters, which is really, really great. I love it when a director is able to take, especially like I said, these are all people that you've never seen them before, or you've seen them in the background of other stuff that you've seen. Like, you're tangibly familiar with who they are, but you get so invested in all of their character arcs. Boyce's character arc is great. Even Ford has a character arc. That's Wyatt Russell's character. Chloe, Mathilda Olivier.
One of my favorite parts of the movie. Oh, man. One of my favorite scenes in this movie. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. Dude, when she picks up that flamethrower, I almost shit myself. I'm like, yes, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Dude, like, there are so many just amazing, like, I'm really, I think this movie did what, like 10 million or something like that. Like, it didn't blow the doors off the box office. As of
right now, it did domestic 10 million, worldwide 19 million, and on a $38 million budget. That's extremely sad to see because, and I really do.
It's going to fight to get back to it, not even including its marketing budget. It's going to fight to get back to break even.
I feel like, Nick, with word of mouth, though, with home video, I think it will get its audience for sure. Not that we need a sequel or a sequel is ever planned or talked about.
Well, this is one of those things where we talked about this all through the month of October, which was literally just stuffed full of non-horror films. I feel like this film would have played better in October. October was so crowded this year with Venom, with A Star Is Born. Like, it was just
packed. Halloween was in there, and I think any other horror film was scared and knew better than to go head-to-head with Halloween. Well, you
can't open against Halloween, because, no. But
so I feel like with Overlord, they were thinking, let's just throw it in, you know, the beginning of November, where it didn't really have all that much, you know, competition at all. It's just the marketing sucked for this movie. And I know one of our listeners and our friends of the show had mentioned to me on social media, Rick Humphreys, he was like, I thought the trailers were good. I thought it was marketed fine. I disagreed with him. I said, I thought the trailers gave you something that audiences didn't really necessarily know what it was. It had, you know, it had like AC/DC in there and stuff. And it was trying to be fun and upbeat. And I was like, no, you know, it's like this needed to look. There were shots in this movie, Nick, where they're like running away from explosions. A beautiful cinematography of war. They could have actually marketed this as being a big action spectacle / horror movie, like Planet Terror comes to mind. Robert Rodriguez's movie that was on the double feature with the Grindhouse with Death Proof, Quentin Tarantino's movie. This could have been that. And this felt like that to me. And I'm like, this is what it needed to be marketed like.
Mind you,
and it wasn't.
This film's tongue is not planted firmly in its cheek like Planet Terror.
No, it's not.
It's not anywhere close to that kind of movie. But
no, I'm saying as far as being like a crowd pleaser, like, hey, great action movie with
there's
horrific
so many
elements
good
and blood
things,
and gore.
Just absolutely great things in this movie. This is definitely one of those things that you can just throw on probably every single horror season, really every single October, and just enjoy the absolute hell out of it. Like I said, you get really invested in all the characters. You care what happens to them. And then it has the creepy, the tense scenes as they're exploring the church, as they're exploring the town, as they're figuring out what's going on. And then they decide they're going in there and they're taking out these fucking Nazi labs and they got to fight against these fucking monsters that are injected with this crazy serum. And dude, there's the one scene when the one guy, like the friendly, you know, the one soldier gets shot, he gets killed, he dies, and they inject him with the serum and like he comes back to life. And like that shit was like scary. Like, it was really well done because he doesn't know what he's doing. And all of a sudden he's fucking like mutating and he's got like all this different shit happening to him. That was a really insanely well done scene, like insanely well done. It was a perfect transition from the quieter, the more tense stuff into the horror stuff. It was perfect. Like, it was so well done.
And I got to say, we have a great villain in this movie. I think a pretty fantastic villain with Waffner. Dude, he just oozes evil charisma the whole fucking time. At the end, when there's the end fight between him and Ford, I loved it. There was a great buildup to it.
Amazing.
And it was extremely entertaining and very well done, very well put together, very well shot. I was like, why don't we get more ending scenes like this? That fight scene was so fucking brutal. I'm like, this is what I want out of my action movies.
It was like the punches land hard, like the bullets are flying. Like, it's just, it's so great. It's so great. And literally for us to describe it to you is not selling how great it is. You need to see this movie for yourself.
There's no way words can visualize it. You need to see it.
You have to see this movie. Get out to a cinema. If you never listen to us, and why would you, but get out to a theater and see this movie while it's still out in theaters. It's probably not going to be in theaters long, unfortunately, because it's just one of those kind of movies that's going to underperform. The studio is going to cut down its number of showings and then it's going to disappear. See this movie on a big screen, biggest format you can, AKA not my theater. And you're going to walk out of it. You're going to walk out of it. You're going to be happy with at least some element of it because it blends so many elements so well together. And like, I walked out of the theater, Justin, Robert Moreno, our resident kaiju expert, also loves Resident Evil. He and I, Resident Evil 2 remake is coming out in January. And I mean, literally, you think you're not going to find me now because I'm watching Married with Children. Once that game comes out, fucking forget it. I'm dead to the world. Like, I can't wait. But dude, get these guys behind Resident Evil. I get so many just amazing, just creepy, tense, atmospheric vibes. So many of those kinds of things that, like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, this could be in a Resident Evil movie. Like, they could have shown an Umbrella logo at the end of the movie and been like, you know, oh, Nazis, like a German accent or something, like, oh, we're going to form Umbrella. That was Tommy Wiseau. That wasn't even a fucking German.
No, it wasn't. You're doing it. You still got Tommy Wiseau on the brain, but no, you know, I got to heavily credit J.J. Abrams and Bad Robot for really putting their heart behind this and really
love it,
you know, supporting this, because this just goes to show you can take a young up and coming filmmaker with a cast of what you would consider no namers, you know, up and coming actors, and make a really thrilling, exciting action
horror movie. A blast.
Exactly. It's fun, dude. It's really fun. And it's not fun in the sense of like what you consider like a traditional comic book movie or anything. It's fun because you're like, I love how bloody and violent this movie is, you know? And there's some uncomfortable moments. I mean, the movie deals with rape. There's a child in extreme danger, but it's also done in a pulpy way where you're like, okay, I kind of know like not all the bad guys are going to die. So that's why I enjoy this movie very, very much.
Yeah, well, I say we throw the numbers on it. I say we throw ratings on it right now. I'm going to lead off. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. I had a blast with this movie. It's so much fun. And everything works about it. Everything works about it. It transitions perfectly. I know we've said it 100 times in this review, but we really, really mean that. It transitions perfectly from one genre to the next seamlessly. So seamlessly. Like, it's like, why haven't, like, you watch it and you're kind of like, why haven't more World War II movies talked about German experimentations and making zombies and shit? Like, it's that effective. I think it's that good.
Oh, don't forget Dead Snow, one of your favorites.
Dead Snow is legitimately amazing. I can't wait for Zombie Hitler in Dead Snow 3. God, that movie needs to come out. But yeah, 8 out of 10. I loved this movie. Go see this movie. Please get out to a theater. If you're hanging on the fence, if you're not sure, if you're somebody who loves action, if you're somebody who loves, like I said, body horror, gore, just touching moments between characters you actually give a shit about, see this movie. I promise you, you'll walk away from it and you'll absolutely love it. And like I said, the setting is done perfectly. Production design's on point. Costume design is on point. Everything is on point about this movie. See this movie.
Yes. And you have a very likable, relatable lead with Boyce, who is an African-American in this movie, which is definitely a change of pace. You get to see Wyatt Russell, who plays Ford, doing his best impression of his dad, call me Snake. I mean, when the movie opens and he's on the plane before they have to drop off the plane and parachute off, he's literally doing his best impression of his dad. And when you see his side profile, you're like, dude, that you got it, man. I'm like, I told the sauce after we saw him, like, dude, put an eye patch on him, dye his hair black, and have him be the new Snake Plissken in the fucking Escape from New York remake. You got it. He's a little taller. He's a more lanky, but he's got it. He has that intensity to it. And there's scenes in this movie when they're doing like an interrogation where he's absolutely on point of being very brutal, very intimidating.
Yeah.
We've got the character of Chloe, who is an extremely strong female character. We see her from the beginning of the movie, you know, she's going through some shit. She's doing her best to be able to survive, taking care of her family. And then at the end of the movie, she's fucking burning away Nazis with a fucking giant flamethrower.
Dude.
And we have a great villain with Waffner, played amazingly by Pilou Esbach. I loved this movie with every single fiber of my being. Nick, I'm going in lockstep with you. 8 out of 10. It does not transcend the genre. It's not something that's going to actually break the mold, but it does everything perfectly as it needs to be a successful, entertaining time at the movies.
Extremely, extremely well. All of the genres that it dabbles in, it doesn't miss a beat between any of them. So see this movie. I mean, that's like as strong of a recommendation as you can possibly get from us here at the Epic Film Guys. I hope
I'll be buying this shit as soon as it comes out, Nick. I'm buying this shit. Yeah. I can't wait to watch it again. Seriously,
I can't wait to see what else, like I said, this team is going to do and this director, because it's absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Julius Avery, like I said, I cannot wait to see what happens next. So there you go, Overlord, ladies and gentlemen. Get out to a theater and check it out now. And that, Justin, is going to do it for us here on the Epic Film Guys podcast. And from here, it's all Potter.
Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Harry Potter. Fuck you, Dobby.
Once again, our Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince spotlight already dropped today as of recording day, Monday the 12th. Check it out. Answer the trivia question. Monday the 19th, Deathly Hallows 1 and 2. And then, of course, next Thursday on the big show, Fantastic Beasts 1 and Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Cannot wait. We're dumping literally all the magic on you that we possibly can. And then we're going to forget about it for a couple of years because we've already talked about all the movies and we don't need to go back to it. So that's it.
Yeah. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, it's still November. Upon you listening to this episode, you still have a great opportunity to participate in our Never Seen It November Challenge. 10 movies that you've never seen. Just 10 movies you've never seen.
Do it.
In this month. It could be any genre, any decade. Watch it. Come over to the Hopesters Dumpster, our fan group. Check them in there. Talk about it with other fans of the group, our friends, our colleagues, our participants. And have a blast. It's a great opportunity to watch movies that you have not had the opportunity to see yet.
And thank you all very, very, very much for listening. You guys are amazing. We absolutely adore every single one of you out there that's tuning into the show. If this is your first time listening, first of all, thank you. Welcome. And we hope you enjoy the show. Burn through some of the backlog. Enjoy 3.5 years of just EFG insanity. Really, especially when the sauce is here, because my God, he's off the wall. You can't control him. I swear to God.
Hey, you. Hey. Hey.
Fruity, yummy. Hey. Hey. Tummy, go, yummy.
I'm glad you're actually taking the time to promote that I was a star at one point. What's this with you replacing me with this sauce, gentlemen? This guy, he thinks he's something special now.
That's a lot of cum.
I'm still the star of this show, and don't forget about it. I'll be back on this show permanently the beginning of next year, so prepare for that. I'll be drunker than ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, of course, it's always a great time when the homester stops by. Is he gone? Please, God, let him be gone.
Dude, he went out on the porch, and I think he jumped off the railing because he found a crease where they kept the pool open, and he's going to go swimming.
Son of a bitch. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, if this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. If you love the show and you want to support us, please head over to Apple Podcasts. Link is down in the show notes and leave us, well, whatever star review you feel like we justify. When the Hopester's in here, probably one star, maybe two. When Justin goes on and on about pieces of shit like Bohemian Rhapsody, maybe like a one or a two.
Or when Nick likes to hate on movies that everybody else collectively loves based on our polls on social media.
That is true.
Yeah, you can give us a one for that, too.
That is true. Me and Loy Sauce are definitely on the low side in terms of that Bohemian Rhapsody poll. I never looked. What did that finish up at? I never looked at it after.
It was like 66 to whatever.
It was like two-thirds loved, one-third not loved.
But you made it difficult. You're like loved or not. You got to have like a liked and
Facebook only has
disliked.
Two poll options. You can only do two things on Facebook. What do you want me to do?
No.
What do you want
I
me
know,
to
but
do?
But you made it seem like I love the movie. I gave it a passing grade. I didn't love the movie. I just was entertained by it and thought it was fine and passable.
Well, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we love you. Thank you so much for listening, for supporting the show every single week. Head over to Patreon if you want to throw us a couple of extra bucks. And for $1 a month, Justin, you get access to like 35, maybe 40 hours at this point of extended content. Most episodes have just extended content within the episode, plus our patron-only segment where we talk about whatever else, and you get to learn a hell of a lot more about myself and Justin and the sauce and everything else. It's a really, really great time. And you get to get free swag. And if you pledge way high up at the top levels, $20 and above, you get a loot box, which I'm going to be putting together probably within the next couple of weeks and getting those out to our high-level patrons. Thank you guys so much for all of your amazing support. But until next week, ladies and gentlemen, for myself, for Justin, and for the filthy, low-down, dirty Ghana podcasting himself.
I sucked a dick last night.
That guy. I get to use all the insulting sound drops since he's not here. Thank you all so very much for listening. And of course, ladies and gentlemen,
we will see you at the movies.